This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
What is up, everybody? It is Friday night, Indie Alley time, your place for independent comics and independent wrestling. It's a twofer for us this week, Fred. We were lucky to record last night. We got invited to the Aftershock Central podcast and got to talk about a cool Aftershock comic called You Are Obsolete, huh?
Yeah, we did. Fortunately for us, being over 40, we're still here, so fuck you guys.
You thought you deleted us. We have still survived. Yes. Well, yeah, a special shout out to Martin for inviting us, thinking of us. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really great to talk to Martin because to be in the presence of the Podfather was good enough for me.
Yes, that was, you know, remember when we first joined the network, you asked me if this is what heaven feels like. Was last night like really what heaven felt like for you? You actually made it?
Yeah, I think I saw St. Peter and he opened the pearly gates for us.
There you go. And I bet you there was a pile of comics to the sky.
Yes, and the Ultimate Warrior.
The Ultimate Warrior. Oh, man. Speaking of Ultimate Warrior, you know what? I'm a little cranky. I'm going to say it now. Well, I'll do my best to get through the show, but I started DDP yoga, Fred, and I don't know, man. This working out and this eating shit, it's making me a little nuts. I gave up sugar.
Welcome to the club.
I don't know how you do it, man. I want
Shred with
sugar.
Fred.
I really want some sugar.
You don't need sugar. It's no good for you. You know, get it. Clean those veins and remember just to hulk it up.
Hulk it up. Yep. So, you know, wrestling can change your life.
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty much, there's a new Batman writer, but other than that, there really wasn't a lot of comic book news that I saw out there this week. I looked around. It was quiet. It's been real quiet last couple of weeks on the news front. There's been a lot of great books dropping, but there hasn't been a lot of news. Unless you saw something, I didn't see anything.
I didn't see anything. I mean, no, I didn't see anything. I've been wrapped up in, like, life stuff.
Yeah, life does come and get you. Yeah, if I'm not reading comics, I'm probably watching wrestling. So I miss out on some of that news. All right, well, let's jump into our comics this week. We have two comics and a Kickstarter to feature. We don't actually have the book. We have the two books that came out before the book. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We can talk about where it's going. And like everyone else, we'll be surprised when this Kickstarter drops on where it ends up. So the first book is Postal Deliverance. It's an election year in Eden. And Mark must decide if his future lies in this town of fugitives or outside of it in a world he doesn't understand. Laura is living in that world attempting to find peace. But her oldest and most destructive instincts have been awakened by a young boy in great danger. Created by Matt Hawkins, written by Brian Edward Hill, art and colors by Rafael Ininco, letters by Troy Petrie, published by Image Postal Deliverance.
All right, this is going to sound really cheesy, but I'm going to make a play on words, and I'm sure everyone knows where I'm going. Postal always delivers. Every issue of this book has been amazing, whether it's the art, the storytelling, the colors, even like the word bubble placements. It's been like the pacing in every issue is so good. I could seriously read 100 issues of this. You can give Brian Edward Hill a 100 issue run of Postal Deliverance. I'll buy it all. Wow. Especially paired with this beautiful art. I know you're listening, Raphael. Yeah, man. This is a great book. And what I like about, this issue is that Mark, kind of like, and his mom are dealing with the same things. Mark knows that he can't run away from all the bad things. And his mom tried to run away from all the bad things. And she's just finding out that she can't run away from it. And I feel like she's kind of like replaced Mark a little bit with Pascal. But one question before I go on from there. Do you feel like the mask that Pascal is wearing, do you think that's inspired by Quiet Riot?
No, well, they're in some kind of island paradise, so it's not hockey. So I don't think there's an ice rink, but maybe. Or maybe it's from Halloween. It's from Jason.
Yeah, I was wondering if Brian Edward Hill was a fan of, you know,
Quiet Riot.
Bang Your Head. You know, it came out. I mean, it was big, like, in the 80s. I remember on MTV all the time when I was a kid.
Yeah, maybe. Bang Your Head. That little kid bangs a lot of heads.
He sure does. And speaking of heads being banged, something bad happened to his mom. Nothing head-wise, but, you know, there was a little payback because if you've been reading the book, okay, let's say you should be reading the book, and if you haven't, you need to now, because this story is great. Because what happened to Pasquale's mom is Pasquale beat up all these gangbanger kids, and they came back and they did, would you say, like a drive-by?
Yeah, I think it's a drive-by. Yeah, and they just shot up the house, and of course the mom was the victim of this drive-by. Mm-hmm.
And he had nowhere to go other than to go to, it's Laura, right?
Yes.
To go see Laura, because she kind of channeled him to, you know, stick up for himself, and he was being bullied, but now he's becoming the bully. We're getting that kind of story happening line. But I'll let you talk about what you like about this book.
Yeah, he has no one. It's funny, the beginning of the book, he comes to Laura and asks for more and to be taught. Well, kind of the end of the last book, beginning of this book, she's like, nope, get out of here. I helped you. You got to go take care of yourself. I'm not taking on, you know, you go. Then the kid shows back up after what happened to his mom, and she's like, oh, I'm responsible for this. I'm taking this on. And like you said, I'm also looking at this little boy as a replacement for my one son, who kind of doesn't have anything to do with me. I felt bad for her new husband, or is that, I don't even know if that's the father of Mark or not, or that's just another.
I'm not sure, because I didn't read like the first, I have like the first four trades, but I haven't, you know, I haven't dove into it yet. But she doesn't, what does she refer to him as, like Magnum or something?
Yeah, something like that.
So here's the thing, if you're listening to us and you know the backstory on Magnum, hit us up. Let us know.
Yeah, that'd be helpful. Yeah, and don't tell us to just buy the trade. Come on.
We want the cliff notes.
The cliff notes. We don't have time to read all that. No. We should. Yeah, I mean, I like this book. It's a great looking book, like you said. It's the violence. It ends really cool. Our villain from issue one will return. We can see that. Mm-hmm. And then can you imagine being a couple, like Mark and the woman he's with and the baby, and none of them are related to each other? And they have to like live life like they're a family and care. And what a tripped out way to live your life.
Yeah, that's a little odd. But the the whole city is odd. Speaking of the election, do you think the one-handed man is going to win the election?
Oof. No, I don't think he can win the election. He's too nutball, and he's more nutball at this point. But someone's going to challenge him. Probably a character we haven't seen yet is going to step up and challenge. So we'll have an interesting new storyline going. I still don't understand Eden completely. I guess we need to quit complaining and read, you know, the first postal, because it probably is explained better. I don't know if it's just a refuge, or it's actually something set up for by the government for these guys to hide. I don't know.
All I know is this is Top Cow's cash cow, because this book is money. There's so much to like about it, but this issue isn't as violent as the previous two, even with Pascal's mom dying in it.
Yeah. Our major characters don't kill anybody. Which is a switch. or no. beat anyone up.
But there seems to be like a little bit of, do you feel like a little bit of mind control with Laura? Like, even there's a moment where she's speaking to like the Pasco and stuff, and before the things happen to his mom, and Magnum's like washing his car and stuff, getting the bird doo doo off it and whatnot. And she kind of just tells him, like, you missed a spot or something to that, you know, something like that. And he's walking back towards it to, like, wipe, clean it. And she's like, you know, go clean it or something to that effect. And he goes mm-hmm. and does it.
Do you think that's mind control, or that's just when your wife nagged you and you know better than to give her any gruff and you just go back?
I don't know. There's something with her. Like, she has some kind of, like, because just think, like, how she talked up Pasquale to do the things and to fight for stuff. Like, there's something there.
So you think there's some more than just her being a very manipulative person, that she actually has something interesting?
Yeah. Yeah, like, Pasquale is like a pawn that maybe she did with Mark.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. So she's not winning any awards for Mother of the Year, that's for sure.
Well, maybe in Eden, but not.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's all I've got on Postal. On
that part. Me too. I just want to say, like, some of the art is, like, really good. I'm in love with the art, the coloring, everything, the total package. It's been, we've covered it 3 months in a row now.
Wow.
It's pretty good. You know, if we're covering it 3 months in a row, and Andrew usually doesn't like to do books, you know, the same books back to back. We've done it 3 times, so
wow,
it must be good.
It must be good, because I didn't even realize that. There you go. Or I'm getting old and I just don't remember. But
I'm not going to tell you that.
Yeah. Delete. All right, let's move on to our second book of the week, Black Hammer Justice League, Hammer of Justice number 3. Dropping into the DC Universe, the Black Hammer heroes find themselves captured by members of the Justice League, who blame them for the cosmic switch. And on the Black Hammer farm, the displaced DC heroes search for answers and a way out of their bucolic prison. That's a big word. But Colonel Weir and the Green Lantern discover that the solution to this riddle may not be so simple. Written by Jeff Lemire, art and cover by Michael Walsh, letters by Nate Pankos of Blambot, variant covers by Nate Powell, Ray Fox, I grabbed that one by the way, Trad Moore, and Evan Doc Shaner. Published by Dark Horse, this is Black Hammer Justice League Justice, or Hammer of Justice.
Black Hammer is... and the Justice League is the greatest crossover since Peanut Butter and Jelly, maybe?
Maybe.
Oh, no. No, because that was invented before Aerosmith and Run-DMC together walked this way. So maybe since then.
That's a good crossover.
that's a good, really good one. You know, if you listen to us in the Street Level Floppies, you know that I'm a huge fan of Jeff Lemire. And then if you put my favorite publisher with them, DC, even though I might not like DC right now, but I do like this book. It's amazing. I love the, like, the humor in the beginning, you know, like, you know, because the DC characters are really serious and they're interrogating the Hammer Universe characters, and then, you know, a lot of the Hammerverse characters are, like, you know, clowning them, making fun of them. Golden Gale's hitting on everyone she sees, whether it's Aquaman or if it's John Jones. Is it Barbara Lane is clowning John Jones because he's a green Martian and everyone knows that Martians aren't green, things to that effect.
Yeah, what a stereotype or something he says.
It's funny. And then he even turns into him and it's like being all flamboyant and making fun of him. Like, it's totally Jeff Lemire's comedy. And I'm a big fan of that. But this book kind of takes a turn, you know, throughout it that Golden Gale is getting upset because they're in the prison, like Andrew mentioned. And she skates, she bounces, she leaves, she goes through the roof and she's like, screw this, I'm not dealing with these capes. They're, you know. And a lot of other things happen. I want to see what else you have to say, and then we can build off that.
going to the Justice League heroes on the farm, it's really interesting to see Batman still trying to be Batman. He calls the barn his Batcave, and he's out patrolling and gets stopped by the sheriff because he's out patrolling at night looking for crime. So he's really grumpy. He's grumpy, and he's like a combo of, he's a little bit of techie, he's a little bit of Golden Gale, he's a little bit of all of them, you know, combined, you know, the angriness. That really cracked me up. And then on the other side, like you said, Golden Gale is a favorite from the regular Black Hammer of mine, because if those that don't know, that don't read Black Hammer, she's an older woman who's stuck in a child's body. When she says her magic word, similar to like Shazam, for example, I would say, she transforms into this young girl who's a superhero. And because she's been stuck on the farm forever, she's been stuck as this young girl forever. So it's bad enough they're stuck on the farm, but they're also, she can't go do grown-up things. She has to hide and smoke cigarettes and quiet. She can't hit on a grown man, which she doesn't care. Like, so she does it with Aquaman and freaks him the hell out. That's probably some of my favorite stuff. And then it gets a little weird and cosmic and complicated when you get into the weird and the Green Lantern stuff. But that's where the real meat of the story is going to be. That's how we're going to find out how they get back. So, yeah, I like it. It's a lot of fun. I think each issue is ended on a cliffhanger. The cliffhanger for this one, like you were telling me as a Black Hammer fan, was huge.
Yeah, and like you mentioned about the Jon Stewart, Colonel Weird stuff, they actually help move the story along between the comedy stuff, which is a nice touch for this book. And at the end, I guess seeing this is like 2 weeks old and stuff, Golden Gale meets Zatanna. And let's just say something that's been happening throughout Black Hammer since the beginning happens to Golden Gale. Do you want to reveal what that is?
Oh, I got to let you. You're the Black Hammer guy. You've been reading this since the beginning.
Okay. Golden Gale becomes old. She's an old lady. She looks like a golden girl.
They figure out how to finally bring her back. Zatanna says her magic word backwards, and it works.
Yeah, and she's full of, like, she's just crying everything because she said, it worked. I'm finally free, and she's, like, super old. And you can see the joy in her because she's been so grumpy and, like, she's almost like, no, I can't say it. I was going to say about girls at a certain age, what happens, but I'm not going to say it. But she seems, yeah, I can't. But she seems to be on the edge of, like, that type of behavior the whole time. So she, you know, as a Black Hammer fan, this was really cool for me to see the big reveal, especially being with, you know, Justice League characters. So, yeah.
Yeah, I just say I have a feeling it's going to be tragic as it continues. Like, she may have to go back to be her little, to be the hero again, transform back. And
That's going to suck.
That is going to suck. That's what I mean. I mean, that's why she's run away, because she's done with all this crap. And I think in order for them to go back or things to be fixed and go right, it's going to require her to make that sacrifice, and that's going to suck. You're right.
It is. That is not cool.
Yeah. Jeff, that wasn't cool.
Come on, Jeff. Don't do that to us.
But it's a great book. I've enjoyed it. The art's amazing. I was telling you the variant I picked up has Batman on it. It's really cool. It's creepy. I love it. Love it. Love this book. I'm glad DC took a chance on this. Let Lemire do this.
Well, they had to, because they're making Jeff write a couple of those Black Label books. I'm sure, like, that was part of the deal. Like, you give me, if I'm writing these books for you, then we're doing a crossover for me.
Yeah, there you go.
I'd pull that type of weight because he's got that pull.
Yeah. I miss him at Valiant, though. DC snagged him. Yeah, well, that's all I got on that one. It was a simple book. It's pretty straight to the point, but really enjoyable.
Yeah, I definitely say, like, if you're a Black Hammer fan or if you just like DC books, this is definitely a good book to jump on point, because even if you don't know the Black Hammer characters, the first issue, they kind of explain, you know, run through the characters and give you a little backstory on each one, so you can kind of catch up without reading other things. But I highly suggest reading it. I mean, Andrew says you should. Invincibles are like the best
comic book universe.
Yeah, I'm a Black Hammer guy, but you know.
Yeah.
We can put a poll up or something.
Look at you, going to the people. Going to the people. I don't know. Invincible is pretty big. You might get your heart broken. You might be like Golden Gale crying on the rooftop.
Yeah, well, it won't be the first time or the last time.
All right. Okay, we're going to go into our Kickstarter next. Our Kickstarter is The Space Heists of Vivi and QWERTY. I guess I should read the solicit first, huh? Though it's the solicit for number three, we're going to talk about one and two, but I'll read the solicit first. The sci-fi buddy action comedy that you've been waiting for. An orphan, a runaway, roam the universe as thieves for hire until they find the one thing they can't steal, a purpose. Join them Monday, September 23rd, as they embark on the third issue of their series. Pledge early to receive a discount on sketch cards and sketch covers. Written by Niall Presnell. Line art by Carlos Triago. Colors and logo by Osmarco Valado. Letters and design by Rene Arabia. TJ Shelvin does edits. And the Kickstarter exclusive variant cover is by the pale artist Jay Fabre. Published by Killjoy Comics.
Okay, I've had the pleasure to read the first two issues. The first thing I will say is those issues are hilarious. I seriously, and I'm not LOLing because I seriously laughed out loud. I mean, I really did. There's a lot of funny stuff, and QWERTY is my dude. a lot of the stuff that he says and stuff, like, what do you say, like, is that robophobic or something?
Yeah,
like,
robophobic. Makes, like, everything's robophobic. Yeah.
Or, like, there's parts where, like, somebody's mistreating him or something, the bartender at this place, and he's, like, hacks his account and steals all his money and donates it to, like, a robot fund or something to that nature. But it's hilarious. It's really fun book. I would compare it to, like, kind of like if you're into Guardians of the Galaxy, I would compare it to that. Yeah, man, I liked it. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm going to go one step farther with the Guardians thing. I'm going to take it to what inspired Guardians. I saw a lot of Star Wars in this. I saw a lot of Indiana Jones serial kind of adventures. You know, it's a space adventure versus like on Earth. So like Star Wars. I really liked it. I liked the world. I liked the fact that each book, the first two books, were a contained story. Like I felt when the story ended, I read a story. And I was able to enjoy, though there is some more stuff, like you want to know what's going to happen next, you had a conclusion to the general story of that. And that's cool for a Kickstarter. Because let's be honest, sometimes with a Kickstarter, it takes a while for issue three, issue four, issue five. You know, it's not see you next month. It could be see you 6 months. So I really appreciated that I got a nice self-contained story in both issues. So I could read two and probably understand it without reading one, for example, though it's better to read them both. But yeah, I'm with you. He's funny. The robot's funny. I like the lead character. She's kind of tough, you know, the tough orphan girl that has a heart of gold, but keeps it hidden in a big old iron chest so nobody can get down deep. And yeah, all the interesting side characters, both adventures, you know, one to find QWERTY's dad. The first one, they were on a hunt for they did a bounty at first, right? Oh no, they stole the phallics. I forgot about the golden.
They stole phallics. They stole the shaft.
Yes. And they upset someone they were working for, and he sends a bounty on them. And you're good adventure type stuff. It had a bar scene, kind of like a Han Solo scene. But yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I can't wait to see where it goes next.
Yeah, really good. I thought that like the writing was really good. I thought that the art was beautiful. Colors. It's a really good book, and I definitely recommend. Like, if you're a Kickstarter person like me, I'm gonna back this book. I definitely suggest that other people back this book. And I mean, if we didn't believe in it, it wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah. And you're so right. That book looks great.
Yeah. Like everything about it is like, yeah, the level of how would you say it? Like the level of this book is it's something that, you know, some Kickstarters aren't even close to what this book is at. This book is beautiful.
I like the way you did that. This is a very top of the line Kickstarter. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That's the word. That's why you're here with me.
Yeah. Yeah, Carlos Triago, by the way, the artist, he just, I don't know if it was this week or last week, because I'm kind of like off on my comics, released a book on Action Labs, Chainsaw Reindeer. He was the artist on that. So some people might recognize him. He's done other books with Action Lab as well. So you may recognize his art. Really great stuff.
There's reindeers with chainsaws?
There's reindeers with chainsaws.
Oh, snap. I'm going to have to check that out.
Check that out. I don't know if it was last. It was issue one, so you have a chance to jump on it early. But yeah, we shouldn't be selling someone else's comic.
Yeah, we're here to sell the Kickstarter, the 23rd.
The Space Heist Monday, so. Of Vivi and QWERTY. Yes, number 3, and it is going to be Monday. So
yeah.
If you're hearing this show, you're either hearing it probably on Sunday or Monday. If you're hearing it Wednesday or Thursday, you're kind of a slacker, but we'll forgive you. But the Kickstarter will be going full force. I like the interesting thing that we have, you know, if you go early, you get a discount on sketch cards and sketch covers. Like I told you, this artist is really good. You have an opportunity to have some nice art created for you. Yeah, look into it.
Hey, yeah, get the book and have a few laughs like I did.
Yeah, I definitely recommend it. It was really funny. It was a great adventure. Top notch. All right, well, that's all I have this week on comics. I guess we're going to move on to the wrestling nerds. All right, Joey has joined us. It's time to kick into our wrestling for this week. It was funny. It wasn't a really busy week, and some of these promotions, there's not a lot to talk about. But there were some really cool pay-per-views that got sneaked in there. Like, I enjoyed the New Japan. I enjoyed the MLW. And I didn't get to see the other one you guys are going to talk about tonight, the Impact and the AAA one. So there was some good wrestling, even though it was kind of a quiet, you know, news type week. So let's go ahead and jump around this whole thing and start with New Japan.
For New Japan, now if you have the app, what's it called, New Japan World app?
Yeah.
Like we do, the Super J Cup is available on the app right now. Also, I want to mention that on the 15th, Tanahashi actually lost the British heavyweight belt, the Rev Pro British heavyweight belt, back to Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh.
Is that a spoiler to you?
No, it's not a spoiler. Well, I didn't know, but it's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't know. He just had it.
Yeah, we didn't watch it. I guess it happened the night before, like, but the show I want to talk about is on the 16th. It was called Destruction of Kagoshima, and there was a lot of really good matches that took place on that. The two that stood out for me was the Birds of Prey versus Ishimori. Yeah. Oh, I did notice, Andrew, that it did say Birds of Prey, and so I kind of laughed. I was like, oh, he was right.
I was making that up, didn't you?
Yeah, so that's, in case you don't know, that's Robbie Eagles and Will Ospreay. Ospreay, see what I did, Joe?
Yeah.
And those two guys were against Ishimori and El Fantasmo. I thought the match was really good. The outcome didn't pan out to the way I wanted. Joe said that they have to wait till Wrestle Kingdom before they put the belts on them, but
yeah.
Go
ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say that, yeah, I think it's too soon to give them the belts. They just started. Yeah.
It's only their second match.
But I want the gold.
Of course you do.
And then the other match that I liked really a lot was Kenta versus Ibushi.
Yes.
I thought the match was amazing. It It was for the rights certificate, which would have gave, if Kenta would have won, he could have faced Okada. And yeah, man, that was a really good, like, the storytelling. I don't know what's with the blonde hair. That's the first time I've seen him with blonde hair.
I love the faction work in New Japan. How all the factions were like, it's like what it should be like.
Yeah.
Or Chaos and Bullet Club, they show up at the end of the matches. And
yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, is Kota Ibushi going to join Chaos? You know how they came out during the match to save him from Bullet Club? But you said no, so.
Hard to say. No. Hard to say, because Ishii did owe some payback, you know, because it was, yeah, it was Ishii, right, that Kenta took it from, yeah.
Yeah.
So Ishii owed some payback. You know what I found interesting in that match is at the beginning, they kind of made fun of the whole concussion thing. Did you guys catch that?
Oh, where like they hit with the...
Yeah, they hit Ibushi with... Kenta hit the Ibushi with the briefcase before it all started.
Yeah.
And they were checking him.
Yep.
And the announcers were saying things like, I don't know, it's hard, this is a big match, but sometimes we have to make the right decision and call these matches and stuff like that. And they were, it was totally like they were trolling us, like, you idiots.
Yeah.
We knew what we were doing last time, so just go away. I totally felt trolled. I was like, whoa, okay, cool. Are we ready to move on to MLW?
Sure. Okay, it's still my turn this week for MLW. So we had the debut of Leo Bryan. It was like I don't know what
a fat Barry Windham.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I that. What did I say? I said a fat Adam Page.
Yeah, versus a nobody. But and then after that we got the Bone Collector Dominic Garini for coming soon.
Uh-huh.
His thing. And then the last match was Contra versus the Briscoes, the Von Erichs, and Low-Ki and Tom Lawler. And the couple things I wanted to point out was that Fatu had some great, like, he had some great, like, pops in the match. Where, like, his moonsault, it's always good. But, yeah. Like, and where he tossed, I don't know who he tossed up in the air and caught him in the Samoan drop. That was huge. And how Sam Ayal was bloodied, like, so quickly. He was...
Oh, yeah.
I feel like he's always bloody.
He's the designated bleeder.
That's what he's good at.
And then I want to say, Ross, did you catch that Ross Von Erich is liked more by the crowd than his brother?
Yeah, that is interesting. I did catch that.
Like, they were like chanting him, like, even when like Low-Ki and Tom Lawler came out, they were chanting his name.
Yeah.
And they had him come out last.
Yeah. He's definitely over. A couple things I noticed. I don't know if you guys felt it too, because it's kind of like, it's wrestling, so I'm always ready for a screw job. Lawler wasn't really celebrating with him at the end of this thing. Like, they would all get together and raise their hands, and Lawler would be off kind of standing, walking around the ring, and he kept, like, not really. And I was trying to figure out part of it if he was just trying to be in character and he didn't want to be near Low-Ki, because I know that they're not friends. In character, but it seemed like, I'm wondering if they're setting up some kind of turn, like he has a jealousy with the Von Erichs, because to make something interesting there. That was something I caught on that.
Okay.
And then one other thing, and you didn't mention your girl.
Huh? Oh, where LA Park and Selena Del Rento came out.
Yeah, cast in the ticket.
They said they're gonna cash it in at the. Is it called Super Brawl or something?
I think so.
First live one or something like that. First live pay-per-view, I guess. Where LA Park, always looking sweet, just came out and attacked him.
Chill out.
Yeah, I don't know how you forgot that.
Sitting there
that.
Like a boss.
LA Park versus Fatu. I mean, that's a great match.
Yeah, I told you guys that when Fatu won the belt. I was like, yep, here it comes.
Good stuff.
They're two huge dudes that can do, like, crazy moves and hardcore stuff.
Yeah, that'll be a good main event. Definitely. All right. Well, if you don't have anything else, I'm going to move on to AEW/NXT for this week.
Okay.
I combined them because AEW really didn't have a lot. They had two things. One, I guess the big thing, they're going to call their show Dynamite. So Dynamite, Nitro, you know, we're going with that thing.
TNT.
Yeah. Dynamite. Well, on TNT too, but it was also called Nitro. And yeah.
TNT.
Dynamite.
I feel like you could combine them like that. Like you could call it the Wednesday Night War. That's your topic.
Yeah, I mean, it might work. Well, it depends. If it gets too much for me to review, we'll see.
Wait a second before you say something. Do you think AC/DC is going to sue them for that?
No.
No, their song's called TNT, not Dynamite.
Yeah,
but that's the next line.
What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah, no, they're not going to sue them. You're reaching. Actually, they might hire them. That'd be really cool to hire them to play that song. That'd work. They're going for that nostalgia on AEW, so why not bring back a nostalgic band? The other thing that was mentioned was they dropped the brackets for the tag team tourney. Is there anything you guys saw that caught your eyes? It was kind of interesting.
There's a bracket.
Which one is it? The Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. Who are they wrestling
against?
They're
going against the Lucha Bros.
Oh, so it's a Jurassic Express versus the Lucha Bros.
Yeah, that one I was hoping that was going to take place because I kind of like, I'm afraid that the Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy might lose, but I don't know. Maybe they get a quick roll up or something.
I think they're going over. I think that because the other part of the bracket, if Lucha Brothers win, they're probably going to face the Bucks. And Lucha Bros Bucks is tired. So I really hope that's not what happens. So I think maybe Luchasaurus upset the Lucha Bros, maybe. And then you get Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus the Young Bucks. And that's where they lose. And then the Bucks going to fight. And the other side, I don't really like. I think maybe SCU is who I'm going to go for. Joey, it's SCU versus Best Friends. And those other guys have a bye. What are they called?
The Dark Order.
The Dark Order has a bye, so there's no one else in their side. So they automatically will face the winner of Best Friends SCU.
I mean, I like SCU, but I feel like their AEW is more on the Best Friends side.
Think so? So
yeah.
So Best Friends versus the Dark Order. Who do you like?
The Best Friends versus the Dark Order. I don't really like the Dark Order, but.
I don't think anybody does, personally.
I don't even think they fit together. But I want to say the Best Friends.
Cool. Yeah, that'd be a fun match. Yeah. All right. Now kick into NXT, who started their first live show. They did give us a whole hour of live wrestling. And it wasn't bad, to be honest. They had a squash match that I could have done without. They had a great women's match. It was pretty much a spot fest. But it was still done really well. And I like Candice LeRae. Anyone who says Candice LeRae can't wrestle is a fool. She's amazing. And then you had the main event, which was, what's his name from the Undisputed Era, finally got a title.
Oh,
and
they, Strong.
Strong. They finally took it off Velveteen Dream, which I'm happy because I like Dream, but he's had that belt forever.
Mm-hmm. Did you see hour number two?
No, I didn't because I don't have the network anymore.
How you got the network back?
Huh.
You're not good at this.
Yep.
Yeah, so. I actually got it back.
Yeah, you gave up.
Busted.
You're a traitor.
So here's what happened. Okay. Leo Rush is back.
Okay. Yay.
He wrestled. Who else was on there?
Leo Rush wrestled, I don't remember.
Only Lorcanen, and he got the win. Because,
only Lorcanen.
Because he's the number one. Leo Rush is the number one contender for the 205 Live now.
Ugh.
And then who else was on there? Do you remember?
I feel like
I didn't watch it. I just happened to see, Joe was watching it when I...
The last part was Riddle versus, what's his name?
Killian Dane?
Killian Dane. In a street fight.
Alright. Yeah.
I brought it back just to see, what was on there, but I'm still not impressed.
Yeah, and it's gonna go full live eventually. So you won't need the network for that, if that's what you do.
Can they put 205 Live on NXT instead?
I think they're going to incorporate it. I think that was a hint.
I don't think they need four shows.
Yeah, and that's a good point because Lio Rush wrestling for that number one contender mm-hmm. proves that they're probably going to be on there, because how do you combat AEW is you got to put the high flyers to, yes. you know, the same type of wrestlers. That's the reason why we're watching AEW is because we want to see those type of guys like yeah. the Buddy Murphys, the, you know,
yes.
mm-hmm. Mike Kanellis, those type of wrestlers, you know, Jack Gallagher, yep. like guys like that.
The Lucha House Party.
Yeah, but you told us that they're breaking up.
Yeah, well, because, yeah, what's his name supposed to leave? Kalisto.
All right. Well, that was the first. That was not really the beginning of the war, but the war is about to start.
Yeah.
The big story is that is Kenny Omega trashed the entire NXT yep. locker room. So
didn't he say, like, if they were on the same show, that they would be the lights out match before the show?
Yeah.
And he would be main event?
The dark match.
Yep.
Yeah, the dark match.
I'm assuming he was in character. And I did see one tweet since. Someone tried to go at Riddle about it. And said, ha ha, Kenny said you suck and you do suck. And then Omega said, no, actually he doesn't. I like him. He's my bro. There are exceptions to the... There are always exceptions to the statement.
Yeah, that's the funny thing is, like, the fans want to make something more of it, but the wrestlers, a lot of them are like, why would I be mad at my friends? They're my friends. Yeah, yeah. They work for another company, mm-hmm. but we're friends. And I think that's what a lot of fans need to realize, that, you know, you can have the distaste for Vince McMahon,
mm-hmm.
But you can't be mad at the wrestlers.
Yeah. Unless they do,
they're just doing their job.
Yeah, people are horrible. I saw Britt Baker posted something, made a joke, and people went after her about the women's division. There sucks, and NXT's going to kill you, and this and that. I'm like, it's all these NXT fans. I'm like, you do realize that her guy is the champion of NXT. She doesn't want NXT to fail.
No, I mean her boyfriend, or is she married to him?
I don't think they're married. I'm unsure on that.
It's Adam Cole. Why would she root against him?
It's Adam
yeah.
Cole, maybe.
And you don't think that the other guys don't come by the house once
exactly.
in a while? I mean,
yeah.
come on.
They probably even have Gargano.
Yeah, it's yeah. just weird. It's that cancel culture, but... I mean, that's them. We don't want to get on a rant.
Last thing you want, just, you know, the ratings. NXT's winning because AEW hasn't had their show.
Oh, Joe.
Oh, look at you acting like an NXT mark. All right. On that note, Impact Wrestling.
This week on Impact Wrestling, we had Victory Road took place on the available on the Fight app or the Impact Plus app. Nothing really stood out for me on there. But in this past week's episode of Impact, I thought it was really good. I like that, you know, Tennille Dashwood in the Kira Hogan match. I thought that was good. Tennille got the W, but I'm quickly becoming a fan of Kira Hogan. She's really impressing me. And then I have to say that, I saw Taya wrestle twice and this weekend. And she's still the longest reigning champ, women's Impact champ. Let's see. Also, on that show, one of the members of the Desi Higgs squad, Shira, came back, and the dude is jacked. I'm interested to see, like, what's going to happen with him. But my biggest pop for me on this week's Impact wrestling was I got to see Big Mommy and Nino Hamburguesa, which was really cool to see them on Impact, and I hope that they continue to work together.
Yeah.
All right, and we'll go into AAA, since Impact and AAA are kind of a combined story today.
Okay. So the two biggest things is, so it's the Invading New York. AAA invades New York, and Tessa Blanchard lost the Reina del Reina's title to Taya Two Belts. Taya Two Belts. And Daga beat Flamita, Aerostar, and Poma King for the number one contendership for Laredo Kid's title, the Cruiserweight title.
Yeah.
So we'll see that soon. I think that's all I got for this week.
So I didn't get to see that. I had a family event this week, and so I didn't get to enjoy my wrestling. How was it overall as a pay-per-view, do you think? Did they deliver?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. Was it as... There was a lot of Impact guys on there.
But it was, like, evenly, like, distributed. Like, they were using guys correctly. It was actually a really good pay-per-view. I was quite surprised that the talents worked so well with each other. But now that I think back upon it, like in past episodes of AAA, like you would see like Moose or Tessa or Johnny Mundo, Johnny Impact, whatever you call, they're always there. So, you know, they know each other.
Oh, and the Lucha Bros versus LAX, the Lucha Bros retain their titles.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. Blue Demon and Dr. Wagner, how'd that go?
Wagner actually got to wear his mask the whole match. But then I think he took it off at the end. Mm-hmm. And he won. Wagner won.
Yeah, I'm going to have to maybe buckle down and pay for that pay-per-view. It's because I didn't want to buy it after I already kind of knew some of the things that happened.
But still good.
Yeah,
it was good. It was action-packed from the beginning. And like even the play-by-play team, you got Matt Stryker and then the Hispanic dude from AAA that normally does the play-by-play in Spanish. He was all in English, so it was, like, really good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, that's what made it probably the most enjoyable for me was those two working together because, you know, Stryker knows his Lucha wrestlers because he was on Lucha Underground. He's seen most of them, like Drago, the guys like that was showcased on here. And then I forgot the other guy's name, but... They worked so well with each other. It was money.
Oh, Vampiro?
No, the guy that worked on this episode.
Find out his name. It made me think of a question because you and I were talking about this, Fred, earlier. Does the AAA style connect with the American audience? Okay, obviously you guys like it.
Yeah.
But like they had problems selling tickets. Well, they went from Madison Square Garden to the smaller venue. Is it maybe the style that's not connecting, or was that just they did bad promo and they went to the wrong city? Like that city in, or that thing in San Diego, or that thing in Dallas would have been huge, or Houston, or somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Their next one's in LA, but I feel like they might not have got enough people because all their promoting was towards the people back home in Mexico, and it wasn't towards the people in New York. I feel like they didn't get it. Unless they already watch it.
I think that they can do well. I think I want to see them in the U.S. So, like, you know, high areas of, like, Hispanic people, like Chicago, Detroit. Mm-hmm. I think L.A. would do good, like you mentioned, Houston, San Diego. I think all those areas would do good. I think you have to go to those areas, and the people will show up. I really just want to see it more on... More on exposure on TV here.
Yeah, I agree. I just wondered, because I wonder if that style, the Japanese style, the British style, translates to all the general American audience. Like, I was telling you, I watch NXT UK, and they kind of all have a style, and if you don't like that style, you don't like NXT UK. The Japanese have a style. The luchadors have a style. And you get shows like MLW that are very successful and AEW, which we hope will be successful. They kind of mix in a little bit of everything. It's like a salad bar. So I wonder if a full show of luchadors will be successful in the U.S. That was all I was thinking.
Yeah, I could see that.
I was thinking that the American audience, I don't think they would be able to stand... Like the UK style or the Japanese, but because it's longer paced. But for like the younger people, they would like the Mexican style because it's a lot of color and fast pace. And
that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
I do have a question. Like you asked me to write down some questions. Since we're talking about New Japan and AAA. Now, you know, both those promotions like to use 4-on-4 tag matches. Is that a turnoff for you?
Me, personally, I get bored with them after a while. There's certain matchups I like, and there's other ones I don't.
Do you see that
fast-forward some of them.
Okay. Do you see it as like that a way for them to constantly get their talent on TV?
I do. I think that's a smart way to get your talent on TV, but sometimes they don't work for me. I tend to like the ones that have like if it's a faction versus a faction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm more into those than just a random throw together of guys.
Okay, so Japan works for you, but not like AAA.
Yeah, not as much. Or some Japan doesn't work for me because sometimes it's not a faction. Right. You'll see some weird combos of people. You're like, why are they together? Well, probably because they were all the ones left over and they made them a team.
Okay.
but yeah, if it's like Bullet Club versus Chaos or something, yeah, I want to see that. That's something that's exciting. What about you guys?
I want to see like Bullet Club versus Chaos. I think it's smart marketing, but there's a lot of times like if I'm watching New Japan, if the guys in the ring don't interest me or the story between like one of the competitors on each side, I'm like you, I fast forward.
Yeah, I can't watch like you got like let's say you got one main big wrestler versus one big wrestler and three young lions on each team. I can't do that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because they don't have like any personality, and they're like,
no.
They told us in the commentary that they're limited on moves.
Yeah, well, at least they're honest. But yeah, that's not for me either. But I get it. That's the way they do things, and that's the way they hype it. Because those matches are always the day before, like so the day before the show you reviewed, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those people that faced each other were in like group matches against right. each other. So that's the way that and the announcers are hyping it up. Come back tomorrow. Tomorrow you're going to see these two actually go for the tag belts. You know, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll do that. And as somebody who didn't know New Japan, I don't think this gets enough play. I really like the announcing.
Yeah.
I felt like the end of that Birds of Prey match, I knew who Robbie Eagle was. And I didn't really know a lot about him before I started watching. And they gave me a history. You know, it was funny stuff, like the Geno guy talking about the times he'd wrestled him. But they talked about his time in Australia. And they talked about he was first recruited by Fale. And they talked about how he was Bullet Club. But Ospreay always was trying to get him to come over. I like that.
Yeah.
That's how you build a story. That's how you get me into wanting to watch these
Like how Gambino was all about Bullet Club, and usually you have Romero on there, and he's...
Uh-huh, and he's all about Chaos. Is it Chaos
I think
with
he's
him?
A Chaos guy. But it brings, like, some personality into it.
Mm-hmm. And it makes an interesting storytelling. And the other thing is, all that G1 Climax, they're still building stories off of that. That's how you do something. When Evil walked out, they go, well, the reason Evil's here is because in the climax, he beat Ibushi, and da da da. And I'm like, okay,
cool.
Oh,
yeah, you've seen the that Evil match. Now you know who the Tokyo Pimp is, because he is in the match.
Yeah. Now I know. Yep. So, cool. I mean, I really like it, Fred, the way they do it. I'm so glad I've gotten into that. It's because that is storytelling. And if NXT and AEW want to be the best, then they need to tell me some stories. I mean, I talked about that women's match. It was a spot fest, and it was an amazing spot fest, but there was really no story to it.
I was gonna follow up with just one more question about like New Japan. Is now you've seen the same show as us, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you saw like Suzuki unmasked Liger, and he was carrying his mask around like it was like a severed head or something, like it was a trophy.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That was pretty brutal, but I think it was also kind of cool. I don't know. Only Suzuki can do it. Do not let anyone else do it. He's the only one.
Yeah, like I feel like a lot of times in AAA or something, the guys are removing masks. It's happening more often, but that's like one of the few times I've seen it like to a legend from another legend.
Yeah.
And like everybody was like rushing, taking off their shirts, putting it over his head, you know, like they don't see his face and stuff. And I was like, man, this dude is straight up a heel. Like it was a good move because I would never expected that happen to Liger.
The crowd was like they didn't like him at all. It's like we're like, why would you do that? They were so like silenced.
We were all stunned.
It's like, did he really take off his mask?
Well, even the Jacksons taking off one of the Lucha Bros masks. And I know that's not as legendary, but yeah, the crowd didn't like it. And that was even an American crowd. Yeah, booed for doing that.
Yeah, so, it's a disrespect thing.
Yeah, I thought it was a great New Japan week, great show. I need to go back and watch those Super Juniors.
Yeah, me too.
I definitely want to see that. I know who won now because they kind of gave it away for me. What's his name with his jacket? So Fantastic. I'm not a fan of him, but but he's cool. But yeah, good stuff. So a couple more things on that AAA. You know, Tyra Valkyrie. I mean, so is she the best wrestler, female wrestler in the Impact, or is it Tessa? Because Tessa's not competing with the women. So do you just kind of look at Tessa as something like different?
Like she's on a whole nother level, or?
Yeah, like she's on a whole nother level. Like you almost.
Yeah, that's kind of how I look at it. Yeah.
You could kind of rank because her.
Taya's got, you know what? And you said two belts?
Yeah, Taya
has four. She posted them all the other day. She has four belts. I couldn't tell you what the other two are from, but she has belts galore. Mm. So, yeah, pretty impressive. What else did I have? Oh, one last thing. Do you think Cain Velasquez is going to WWE or AEW?
Neither.
I don't know. Didn't he fight Brock Lesnar in real life and kick the crap out of him?
Probably did.
I thought he did.
So don't you think that's money?
No.
Don't you think the WWE would pay him like Ronda Rousey money to come in for?
I'm not sure if they did because I'm not a huge UFC fan unless it's like Khabib or McGregor matches. Like, I'm not into the big guys, but yeah, I don't know where he would go. I would think that he would AEW because they have that relationship with AAA, and I think that that would be their Brock Lesnar.
He looks so like he gave up a little bit. I think the only problem I have with him is his shoulder. He just looks like he doesn't do anything anymore. His shoulders are like so like just flat down. It looks so weird. Oh, yeah. You said that they do need a big guy in AEW, so they have a Brock Lesnar, except better.
Yeah. That might work if he's willing to work.
But do you like the mask? Yeah.
No, I think you should go without the mask for him, personally.
Okay. Yeah.
That's me. There's so many other great masked guys. I think he gets lost. He's not good enough.
For a mask.
So he just becomes one of the other masked guys. With the mask on, I think.
Well, if you watch the show, you can see him try to jump off the top rope.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. You know, one promotion I didn't talk about was ROH, but I did watch it. They had one good match, but everything else, it's just so weird. Have you guys watched the ROH episode since they've made the change?
No, I'm just going to do strictly their pay-per-views.
It is... I don't know how to explain it. Like, they're all cut up, and they have this weird monologue over them. They're like, it's like a highlight package, yeah. Like an ESPN highlight package. Yeah, and they have this female announcer now. She's like a little smiley Kylie, or you know what I mean? She's just all bubbly and stuff. And, yeah, I don't know. I just didn't like it. The end was cool because they gave us an uncut Marty Scurll Bandito fight, which was really good. It was. I would go back and look for that. It's free. It's on your fight. And just go to the end and watch that. They had a nice long match, and they went back and forth, back and forth. Bandito, I don't know why Ring of Honor hasn't like put a belt on him. He should be somebody they're really putting out in front, if you ask me.
They both need to leave.
Well, we know Marty's going to leave. Yeah, that would be a good thing. Mm-hmm. But it's been nice to get so much free Marty lately, because I remember when we started doing this, there was no Marty on. And now he's always on every week, so makes me happy. All right. Well, I can't think of any other things. Like I said, it was a quiet week, unless there's any news you guys heard.
No, the only other thing that I have that I want to add is, did you notice watching NXT that they had AEW commercials?
Yes, because that's what Britt Baker said.
Okay.
And she said that, and everyone came back at her like, ugh.
Yeah, they did it during that, and I guess SmackDown.
Nice. Because you know WWE is going to do it. So might as well be first.
Yeah.
You know one other thing I noticed on NXT I just thought of right now? Is Murillo called, and I don't know if he's been calling her that for a while because I don't have the network anymore, but he called Io Shirai, the Joshi assassin or something like that, or the Joshi something. But they're using the word Joshi now in NXT. So they're you know, now that it's become a popular thing, thanks to AEW, they're actually calling it that. So we might see like a Joshi might become the new cruiserweight or the new luchador, like when WWE introduced all that stuff back in the day. Become the new thing wrestlers, the new term to casual.
They're trying to be hip.
Very cool. Well, that's all I had this week. It was, like I said, it was kind of quiet. As always, we would like you guys to subscribe. You can go to your favorite podcast app, or you could go to the actual nerdylegions.com site and subscribe there. Search Nerdy Legion on Spotify, on iTunes, on Google. I don't know. Whatever you'll use to listen to. There's so many nowadays. And you'll be able to get all the great podcasts, and they're named some of these wonderful podcasts, Fred.
There's the Aftershock Central podcast. There's the Bright Side Chat podcast. I'm thinking off the Nerdy Legion podcast, 2BT, sorry. Sorry, Michael. There's that's just off the top of my head. There's
a Valiant podcast. There's Dynamite podcast.
Yeah, there's like 20 plus podcasts that I get just on the app. Subscribe to the app. You get them all.
Yep, that's the way to do it. You won't miss anything. They have so many great interviews. There's some, like I said, publisher-specific ones. Yeah, a lot of great stuff.
I just said subscribe to the app. Subscribe to the Nerdy Legion podcast network, and you'll get them all.
Yep, on your favorite app. Very cool. So, if you guys want to get a hold of us and you want to leave a 5-star review, you can just go to the Indie Alley part of iTunes and leave us a nice review. We love that. It always makes us happy. If you want to interact with us, you can go to the Indie Alley page at Indie Alley. You can find me at Real Comics, R-E-E-L Comics. And you can find Fred at Fred Reads Comics because he reads a lot of comics.
It's at Comics Fred, but Fred Reads Comics the name. Yeah, you did that yesterday too, but I'm sure if you search it, you could see it either way. It doesn't matter.
You know, I almost made it throughout the whole show without this grumpy no sugar stuff. Got one. All right, and last of all, we have our other show, Nerds from the Underground, and you can find them at Nerds From. Well, that's it for this week.
Yeah, and just remember, wrestling's real, people are fake.
Yeah.